I want to welcome everybody to the July 28th WBI Town Hall meeting. We're going to get right to it. My name is Jim Dingman. I am a listener member, a delegate for the station. And I'm also acting today as a director of the Pacifica National Board. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend some time directly talking about the issue of essentially the implementation by the majority of the New Day referendum that we're seeing happen. Now, what occurred was on May 30th. I'm showing on the screen these propositions that were presented to us in secret to be voted on. And these were propositions that we're asking to have bylaw amendments to be passed, which, of course, those of you who are familiar with the bylaws know that for these kind of measures to be passed, they require open meetings, number one. Number two, to actually put them on a schedule to be voted on, which is something the majority can do if they want, collides right away with a whole bunch of articles that exist to protect the members' rights of voting. And that is Article 17, Section 3. There's a whole list of subparagraphs that pertain to the rights of the voters. And if these kind of proposals essentially put forward to basically limit the ability of voters to have their rights, they are not to be considered. So, the first measure put forth was directors' terms are extended to 2 years with a consecutive year term limit changed from 5 to 6 years to be the same as delegates. That was proposition number one. Proposition number two was affiliate directors' terms are extended to 2 years and affiliate directors are elected by the Association of Affiliates. Three, the PNB chair is elected by members nationally. That is, of course, a significant difference in how the chair is chosen in the bylaws as it is now. In other words, there'd be election by listener members nationwide. Number four, LSB vacancies. LSBs elect members of the appropriate class to fill an LSB vacancy. Remember, this was put forth on May 30th. National standing committees and their composition. Audit. One representative per station is elected by the PNB and the each director on the committee can choose a delegate or expert to serve in his or her stead. Governance. One director for each station and one affiliate director elected by the PNB. One delegate per station elected by the LSB. And the final initiative, which I'll talk about in a few minutes in greater detail, is to have the personnel committee, which is a provisional committee, become a standing committee comprised of officers and one director for each station and one affiliate director. There will be no change in the National Finance Committee, the National Financial Committee. The coordinating committee is no longer a standing committee. Now, I should add, I'm a member of the coordinating committee right now. The coordinating committee has only met once in the new iteration of the PNB. So essentially, de facto, the coordinating committee at this point does not function or exist at all. And that is to essentially have members, the officers of the foundation, plus elected members from each of the stations be part of that process to set the agenda. That has only met once and only met once as a result of me pushing it to meet. So that hasn't met at all. The other quote reform, end quote, ED powers and authority enhance. And ED will pick a GM and program director in consultation with the LSB from a pool of candidates, as many as two nominated by the ED and as many as two nominated by the LSB. Now that, of course, again, is a direct contradiction to the bylaws because the present situation gives a great stress on the search committees of the LSB, essentially completing both functions. Now, the ED is inserted in the process in a much stronger way, and essentially has power over the selection process, that person, he or she, can nominate two GMs or PDs. That is that proposition. The seventh proposition was LSPs are to be reduced in size, reduced to 12, by reducing the LSP members elected in 2024 this year to 6 listener seats and 2 staff seats with 2-year terms, and restore those elected in 2023 to 3-year terms. I'll get into the 3-year term issue in a minute. Mr. Sagerton will help me on this, because both of us were on the board when we handled the issue of implementing bylaw compliant elections last year. The 8th proposition is election frequency and terms. Starting in 2026, 12 delegates are elected for each station for 3-year terms, 9 listener members and 3 staff members election every 3 years. 9, update ranked choice voting to permit options offered by current vendors. I personally don't know what the hell that means. Someone else can explain that to me. Now, that was what was put forth in camera, and a whole bunch of directors objected to it, and that has theoretically been put aside. That was on May 30th. Several days later, we were given the first set of propositions to vote on, which was none of these. So these were put aside, and I should add that the fact of bringing these up was to have them argued and debated as provisos for a settlement of one of the lawsuits that has been mounted for several years by one of the advocates of New Day in the courts of Southern California. So several days later, on June 6th, people were reacting to these measures because they took us by surprise, and people were meeting to figure out what to do about it. Then on June 6th, we had two things happen there. We had, first of all, a different proposition put forth that basically negates the runner-up list completely. It keeps it in play, but if a vacancy occurs, somebody can be chosen by the majority of the sitting board, LSB, based on their vote. So in other words, the right of the voters is negated completely in that reform. I say that in quotes, of course. And then, of course, we had the whole situation of the changeover of management in New York City, with Berthold and Linda put on leave, fired, however way you want to interpret it. And at this point, they are permanently fired as of last week. Now, that proposition was argued about and opposed by many of us. And the latest version is this. The governance committee met on Thursday last week, just a few days ago, and decided that the personnel committee would become a permanent committee. So this part of the proposition is now to be voted on next time the national board meets, to create the personnel committee as a standing committee. The second option that occurred was, in a way, to solve the problem of this issue poised here, that directors' terms are extended to 2 years with a consecutive year term limit changed from 5 to 6. When the board in August of last year, July and August of last year, decided to negotiate with the court case, there was a court case mounted, a class action case with Ziri Rideau and others from different stations, wanting to have the bylaws confirmed, the whole question of 6 directors who were extended in their term a year because we lacked money. The solution to that was to have a bylaws compliant election process immediately. And it was clear in the resolutions passed by the board that the people elected in 2023 are only on for 2 years, because that would begin to regularize the problem that occurred with not having the election the year before. Now, what occurred on Thursday was that some people argued that they were not informed about the fact that they were only going to be elected for 2 years rather than three, which is erroneous. That was pretty publicly known, and that they are now going to pass a motion which would allow them to have a third-year term as opposed to a two-year term. Now, Jim Sagerton is on the phone. Do you want to sort of explicate a little bit about what that means and what your interpretation of all that is?
Give me a specific question.
Well, the question of that when we decided, when the board last year decided to have a situation where people would only serve 2 years, the argument that was made on Thursday was that this was news to them. They didn't know anything about this. And that, in fact, they felt that they should now get another year in terms of their ability to serve as delegates and essentially extend rather obviously to perpetuate the majority that we have right now on the board. But what's your understanding of what was decided with what was the rationale to have people run for only hold office for 2 years when we decided to implement bylaw compliant elections in the summer of 2023?
Okay. So in 2022, elections were not held. This was, executive director at that time, failed to hire an election supervisor in March, which is normally the beginning of the process of an election. Didn't do it until, I don't think ever did it at all that time around. As time went on, it became increasingly difficult to have a bylaws compliant election because the timelines were getting shortened and shortened and shortened. So eventually the decision was taken not to have an election, to postpone the election from 2022 to 2023, which normally would have been a year off from elections in 2023. Cause you know, the bylaws say you have an election 1 year, you have an election the following year, and then you have a third year with no election. It's 2 years on, 1 year off, a 3 year cycle that repeats. So when it was decided not to have an election, it was also decided after much debate and thought on the part of the board to postpone the operation of term limits. It was not to extend the terms of directors because that would have required a bylaws amendment. It was to postpone the operation of term limits. That was thought to be a stronger legal position based on necessity, which was we didn't have the money theoretically to have an election. Now, the backstory of why we didn't have the money to hold an election is that one of our stations that could have been paying its central services wasn't. KPFA was not paying central services. They didn't pay central services for 2 years in a row, even though their claim to fame is that they're always in the black and that, shame on other stations who don't pay their central service. In fact, we were lectured by directors and others from KPFA about the importance of paying central services when, in fact, apparently these directors were unaware that their own station wasn't paying central services. And remember, this was at a time when KPFA building was put up for sale. We weren't getting audits done. We still haven't gotten audits done. Important, critical things for the entire network were going by the wayside because the station that could have paid its central services made a decision not to and basically wasn't upfront with it, about it with the rest of the network. We only found out about this. Actually, they were submitting budgets that showed that their central services had been paid. We finally got a report from the executive director after a long time that no, in fact, they weren't actually paying their central services. They were marking their central services paid and deducting the amount that was due for central services from loans and other money that they had given to the network as a matter of payback. And because of the $305,000 that was seized by federal marshals in the judgment of the former executive director, John Verniel, when he sued us for defamation. That's kind of that's the backstory. why did we decide to have 2-year terms in the election of 2023? It was because we had already told the court in the Rideau case that we weren't extending terms because that would have been against the bylaws. We were postponing term limits, and that the first term of the 3-year term that would be elected in the replacement election, which was ordered by the court. We were planning to do it anyway. Some make a big deal about, oh, they had to sue us to make us have an election. No, the plan all along was to have an election in 2023. But the question was, would that be for a 2-year term or a 3-year term? We represented to the court that we were having an election for 2-year terms because the first year of that, the seats that would be filled from that election had already been served by the members who were kept on after the postponing of the term limits. So, and that would put us back on our regular 3-year schedule. Yes, it would mean 3 years, 3 elections in a row, but the statutory interpretation of this, bylaws are like statutes. You use statutory interpretation, rules of statutory interpretation. Courts will do that in order to figure out how to proceed. It could be argued that the prime directive of Pacifica's new bylaws was injecting democracy into the process. And so when we failed to have an election, that was a major violation of the overall intent of the new bylaws. And what was needed then was a way to rectify that as soon as possible with the least damage done, the least further violation of the bylaws. So it was thought to have an election in 2023 for 2 years was the best, closest thing we could do, comporting with the representations we made to the court to restore our bylaws. So that's probably pretty complicated. And if anybody has any question, I'll be glad to answer it. But I think for now, that's why we declared that the elections were for 2 years. And now retroactively, we have a group of people who I agree, in my opinion, I agree with what Jim said about the motivation for all of this. It's to permanently ensconce a certain group with a majority on the PNB, you know, as far as can be seen into the future. So I think that's what it's all about, and that's how they're going about it. And this was taken up by the Elections Committee last year. I was not on that committee, but I was using my director's privilege of attending those meetings. I didn't get the documents, but I was there for the meetings where all of this was discussed. And it became clear to the advocates of declaring that the people elected in 2023 had 3-year terms, not 2-year terms, as had prior, had previously been determined, didn't have a solid enough majority on the Elections Committee to push it through. So they put it off, and they said at that time that they would bring it up again about mid-year in 2024. And indeed, that's exactly what they've done. So that's, again, that's the backstory.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I guess, Pacifica PC over here, this individual, here's a message in the chat. Good evening. How could this set of suggested bylaw amendments have been put on a PNB agenda to be voted upon when they haven't even been sent to the Pacifica secretary so that person could publish them to the public? This being the so-called notice of any proposed bylaw amendments. Odd to say the least. And then Peter CPA writes, regarding the PNB Personnel Committee becoming a permanent committee, that is not in the gift of the PNB, but of the PNB and the 5 LSBs, because it is a bylaw that establishes which PNB committees are standing committees. There are currently 4. Okay, thank you. Now, does anybody have any comments or questions or opinions that they want to express about what we've just discussed?
Jim.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think you could explain this, but I'm wondering if you should, because it's my understanding that this matter was possibly brought up in executive session in a conversation about another matter. And I don't want you to get yourself in trouble by discussing what goes on in executive session, although I think it was all a huge violation of the bylaws, and you would be playing the role of a whistleblower if you did describe it. But I think you actually already did, to a certain extent, describe the motivation, why this was brought up in executive session at the PMB. Well, so anyway, I'm not recommending that you discuss what occurred in closed session. So,
well, all I would say is there was a big controversy. And then when we were given the proposition, what I also should add is that the what particularly incensed a number of us was that the document was not considered, you know, it wasn't put on that this is considered confidential, blah, blah, blah. But it did argue that these propositions had already been passed 6 days in the future, which sort of took me aback. Go on, Eleanor.
When the issue of 2 or 3 years first came up, I was running for election or re-election because I'd gotten on as a runner-up replacement. And so I was running for election for the first time, but running for re-election because I was already on the board. And I wanted to know, was I running for a 2-year term or for a 3-year term? And I asked the NES, and the NES said, as far as she knew, it was a 3-year term. And it was only announced that it would be a 2-year term after ballots had gone out. So, you know, that was, elections are always for 3-year terms, up until now. And, it's supposed to be, the elections are supposed to be for 2 year, take place on 2 years out of three, not 3 years in a row. And when I said these things, I was on the elections committee at the time, the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee, although I am not, never was on the Pacifica National Board. I was, you know, ignored, shouted down, what have you. And, you know, I did not know at that time whether I would be reelected or not. But I was for it's being a 3-year terms, and I was, you know, shouted down or ignored before the results were out. And now, this past Thursday, to my amazement, I heard Jan Goodman saying all these things that I had said a couple years ago, and I couldn't believe my ears. Jan Goodman saying things I agree with. Have I lost my mind? But I actually agree with what she said, to my amazement, that the normal three-year term, what was announced to be a 3-year term, when the ballots went out and when people were signing up to become candidates, was changed to 2 years, shortened, without going to the listeners for a vote. So every listener's vote was made 2/3 of what it would normally be, because it only lasts for a 2-year period rather than a 3-year period. Mm-hmm. And now, imagine my horror. Jan Goodman likes the way the election turned out, and so now she agrees with what I was promoting before I even knew whether I would be elected or not. I'm done.
Well, that's one thing we're going to clarify, because it was pretty clear that I could pull up a resolution at the time that was passed by the PNB that the terms were 2 years. So we're going to try to clarify all this one way or the other, because the reason why it was 2 years is precisely what Jim suggested, to get it in line with the 3 years, because we'd lost a year as a result of the postponement of the elections. And there was no ambiguity about that. In fact, I will look for the resolution. Jim, you wanted to say something about this?
I did send out yesterday a copy of an email that I sent at the time, pointing out that this 2 year term announcement took place after the ballots were sent out.
When was the ballot sent out, as you recollect?
There was the dates were all listed. I think it was on the 15th of the month.
Of what, August or September?
I think that it's August, but why not refer to the letter that I sent, that I forwarded that old letter to the public listserv yesterday, so you can look at it.
All right, I will look for it. Now, this is the resolution that was passed in open session.
August 17th, but the ballots were sent out on the 15th.
Well, okay. Well, did they arrive immediately on the 15th? I doubt it. Anyway, this is the motion that was passed and announced in open session concerning this issue. And again, we're going to get to the bottom of this, because this is a basically arguing what I just said. And it was an open session, not closed session. So the question, be it resolved that all the candidates running in the 2023 elections are running for two-year terms. So as far as I'm concerned, what we're seeing, hearing right now, is people are trying to, in my opinion, my personal opinion, essentially perpetuate their stay on the board for their own self-interest. That's what we're seeing. Because there's no ambiguity about this open, jointly passed. This was passed by a majority of the PNB in August of last year. So, but we're going to get down to the bottom of this, because this will be ignored, most likely, in the vote we have next week. But here it is, and we're going to get to the bottom of what occurred with the issue of communicating to everybody about this. Because so what? You initiate this motion, that doesn't necessarily mean it permeates everybody's consciousness, but it surely would have gotten to the NES, because this would have been passed to the NES. So we're going to find out what happened in practical terms. Does anybody else?
If we go as we seem to be going so far, there would be elections. There were elections in 2023. And there are elections now in 2024, and there are planned to be elections in 2025, assuming that we can afford them. And that would be 3 years in a row, which is not according to the bylaws. We're supposed to be 2 years on and 1 year off. So if we don't have it at for 3 years, have the 2023 ones be for 3 years, then we'll have elections 3 years in a row, which is not only against the bylaws, but it's also that much more expensive to have them in 2025 instead of 2026.
May I comment?
Yeah, go on, Jim.
Yeah. As far as the expense goes, it's not more expensive. We're having exactly the same number of elections we would have had otherwise, because we didn't have an election in 2022. The 2023 election was in place of the 2022 election. That's why it's three elections in a row. But if you don't have three elections in a row, you're not restoring the balance of the three-year terms into its regular order, which means you're going to have a continuing issue with people reaching their personal term limits at a time that's different from when the term that they were elected to fill ends. So
that's what the runners up list is for.
That is not what the runners up list is for. The runners up list specifically, and I wish people who believe that would read the bylaws on that subject matter. The runners up list is specifically to fill vacancies that occur mid term, not at the end of a term because there was no election. It's for when people die, when they take a political office, when they do any one of the other six or seven things that
if they get to the end of 6 years.
Please don't interrupt. If those things that occur, again, death, illness, whatever, that would create a midterm vacancy. It's not for filling vacancies created en masse by not having an election, which is profoundly, in my opinion, undemocratic, because you're replacing the intentions that when the voters elect a certain group to be the majority, and then that actually switches because you don't hold an election. There's all kinds of mischief that's invited by a system like that. And I don't think it's healthy or democratic. So, you know, the bylaws do not, or the runners up provision in the bylaws is not for filling vacancies created by the lack of an election. It's for filling vacancies that occur midterm. It specifically says midterm, meaning between elections, you know, between when you're elected for 3 years, if something happens in that 3 years, that's when you use the runner up list.
All right. Elizabeth, you want to add, Eleanor, you want to add more on this?
As I said, if someone's 6 year term limit runs out in the middle of a term, then you would use the runners up list. And that's what would be happening.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'll say again, not if it's because you didn't have an election. It specifically says in the runner-up provisions in the bylaws that it's for when there's a midterm vacancy that's created.
Yes. If somebody 6 year term limit runs out in the middle of a term, that's a midterm vacancy.
That was the whole point about us as the PNB declaring that those terms were over. The people who stayed on through the postponement of the operation of term limits, those people were serving the first year of the next term. They weren't extending their current terms.
Go on. Finish your comment, Jim.
I don't know what else to say. It's when a vacancy occurs because of a death, et cetera, that occurs midterm. These vacancies were not created by what the runners up list is for. They were created again en masse because of not having an election. So that's a completely different thing.
All right. In any event, the comment by public is accurate. This indifference to cause is very telling, because we have to be focusing in on these issues of, quote, governance, end quote, when, you know, it's sort of like Nero is fiddling while Rome burns. We're having a situation in New York where we do not know, you know, I'm now talking about the money coming in. Normal pledge money coming in has dropped dramatically. We're talking about at least 10 or 20% of what it was. I mean, Jim, I don't know if you've been watching, monitoring the Allegiance data, but that money is the bulk of the money that comes in to finance us. Now, Bob isn't here tonight, so, you know, I'm not going to go into, the whole question of how much of that union money we get, but at some point in the next week or so, we're going to have to get clarity as to what is actually going on financially. I understand there will be a marathon in August So hopefully that'll work out. But I understand the, and this is not secret knowledge, this is public knowledge. We know that the amount of money, I think there has been, fortunately, the tower rent has been paid, but of course the tower rent starts again. So I think, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that the check, a check has been paid to cover the bulk of the expense out there, and if not all of it, I think it was about $120,000 owed. But I'm not sure. That's what we have to clarify, because none of us, in the LSB, can figure out any of this stuff because we're not getting any kind of information that clarifies this to us. And that is a real problem. And what I, reason I brought up these issues of governance is that right now we're facing a situation, in my opinion, where, we're having sort of a mission creep of all these propositions that, those of us familiar with the bylaw referendum know were argued and sought after as, quote, reforms to the, situation in Pacifica, which are now creeping into the situation, incrementally. We're going to have, parts of it passed, next Thursday, this coming Thursday, most likely in the PNB. And we also have other measures going on in the PNB, where the kind of, frankly, repressive ways that they handle meetings and other stations are now being applied in the PNB and essentially across the board in all the network stations if they decide to do that. And that's another aspect of this. And again, we have to waste time with this when, in fact, the issue of how do we get recovery, how do we recover ourselves, how do we grow, those to me are the most important issues to concentrate on, not these nitpicking issues of governance, which, as far as I'm concerned, don't answer the question. And are you suggesting WBA governance is the model for other stations? Of course not. Why would I say that? That'd be ridiculous. But I am saying that the issue of audience and the issue of creating financial stability, which has to occur in New York, absolutely, that's to me more important than anything else. That's at least my opinion. Does anybody else want to contribute to this or have opinion about this? Who's on the phone call besides myself and Eleanor and Jim? Joan, Bonabuti, Laura, Steve, listening, no microphone, public, Peter, CPA. Any of you guys have any comments about this?
I just find it very confusing. I'm just trying to understand it.
Well, I find it confusing too, Joan. And it essentially gets down to issues of control, who is calling the shots. I mean, that's what all this, these battles of governance are all about, really. And what direction the foundation should go in and how we're supposed to solve our financial problems, because we know that the situation in New York had not, it wasn't, in some cases it's been portrayed as millions and millions of dollars owed, which I think is factually incorrect if you add in the bequests that we've gotten over the years. But there's no doubt about it that the constant inability to meet the nut every month, that just built up and built up and built up. That was 5-6 years of not being able to do that, and that just exploded 6 weeks ago. So as far as I'm concerned, this was inevitable, and it just was a matter of time before this happened. And it's unfortunate that it happened in a particularly perilous time, because right now, as Americans, we're dealing with this crazy situation externally, and it's sort of, to me, a drain of energy to have to waste time on these kind of things internally in Pacifica, but we have no choice. Does anybody else want to comment on this? I am overwhelmed by the response. Does anybody want to bring up any other issues? All right. Well, if no one wants to bring up any other issues regarding, what is this, regarding Regarding Pacifica's financial reporting, just mentioned the last net monthly income statements for the eight accounting units, which was September last year. Since then, ED Wells has concealed the lack of double entry bookkeeping by issuing two sets of quarterly net income statements when obviously national business manager Markeisha has the monthly data, but ED Wells chooses to conceal it. Okay. There's no doubt that the, it's difficult to find out accurately what's occurring financially. Absolutely. Does anybody have any final comments? Because this will be one of the shortest town hall meetings we ever had. And I'm certainly more interested in watching the Olympics, but if anybody doesn't have anything else to say. All right. On that note, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. You all have a very good evening, and I wanted to at least get out the question of these bylaw propositions, because you'll hear more about that as time goes on. Absolutely. Let's see, someone else. Yeah, thank you, everyone. Thank you, everybody, for coming, and everybody have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you.